text today is from the book of Mark, the first chapter. I probably said this before, but it bears saying again. Each of the Gospels is my favorite for a different reason, and Mark is my favorite because Mark moves fast. Mark is a man of few words. He packs a lot into a little. And in this first chapter of Mark, he moves through a lot of territory. The first chapter from verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John. They is the disciples and Jesus. They went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon, that's Simon Peter. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them, to serve them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. All the sick and demon-possessed in the town. The whole town gathered at the door. Okay, Ontario only has 4,000 people, but I wouldn't want them all gathered at my door, would you? The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, give us ears to hear your message for us. Give me lips that speak your truth, and give us all hearts to love one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps one of the reasons that I like Mark so much is that he leaves out so many details that I can use my imagination and fill them in. So here's what I imagine about Peter's mother-in-law. And some of it is from history and knowledge of the culture, and some of it's just my imagination. And if you want to know what's what, text me during the service, and I'll read the text after the service. If you need to be reminded about what my phone number is, it is 330-550-4743. I can count on getting texts from Marilyn, Vic, and probably Ricky. Probably six of them from Ricky. And you'll have 12 questions for me on the way home. She grew up in a culture that valued hospitality. In fact, Jews were commanded to welcome the stranger. Because it was a desert culture, one of the most important things they did was to give refreshment to anybody that came to the door. It was commanded of them. If their enemy came to the door, they had to give refreshment, especially water to those who were thirsting after a long trip. They were also supposed to wash their feet, get the dust of the desert off. Hospitality was key. It was part of their religious experience. This church would know nothing, knows nothing about feeding people that are hungry. Well, you know. Okay, I'm sarcastic. But in my imagination, it was not only her duty, but her joy. She didn't just count it as a duty, as a responsibility. She must have been well known for her hospitality, or they wouldn't have gone to her house. They'd have gone somewhere else, right? And so for her to be in bed when guests came, this was serious business. She had a fever. Okay. How many of us have been sick this winter? Look around. About a third of the congregation is missing because this illness that's going around lasts for weeks. You get so sick and tired of being sick and tired. She had a fever. From my years of living in India, in a hot climate, a fever will kill you. It can be from what? Malaria? It can be accompanied by dysentery. It can be cholera. It can be hepatitis. It can be a lot of things, not just the flu. A lot of things that can kill you. And she was in bed. People in that day did not go to bed with the sniffles. It was serious business. And it must have been clear to the disciples as soon as they got to the door that something was wrong, because she wasn't there to greet them with a basin of water to wash their feet and a glass of something cool to refresh them. So it's probably before he even had a chance to sit down, they were telling Jesus, "Hey, mom's sick. She's still in bed. This is pretty strange. Would you go and check on her?" And he did. And he went to her. Did you notice in the text he didn't say a word? All he did was take her hand and pull her up out of the bed. Okay, this was not a demand for hospitality. He wasn't grabbing a sick woman and saying, "Come take care of us." But did you notice what happened? It's okay, you can sit down. She immediately got up. Some translations use the word immediately. The one I was reading has tried to delete immediately from the text as much as possible. Connie, I see you're reading along while I tell the story. Does it have immediately in that version, the NRSV? It doesn't. Immediately is my favorite word in the book of Mark, and they've taken out as some translations. It's not fair, because Mark frequently uses the word immediately to show us how fast things were happening. Jesus had only 3 years to do ministry, and when you read Mark, you realize how much he packed into those 3 years. He grabbed her hand, pulled her up, and immediately she started to serve them. My imagination tells me she cooked dinner. That she got to work right away, made some food to serve them, made sure that either she herself or the servants washed their feet, and that they certainly had cool refreshment after their trip from the temple and after all the activity of the day. But there are layers and layers of meaning in this story. When I was in seminary, I did a special term project on this particular story. I think it was 110 pages. You'll be glad to know I've forgotten absolutely everything I wrote. But at the time, I was probably one of the top 100,000 experts on the story in the world. I thought I was an expert. I was young. I studied every word and every line of this passage. And I came to the conclusion she cooked dinner. But that the word serve meant more than just hospitality. And that the passage means more to us than just that Jesus heals. That's important enough, isn't it? Don't you wish he were still walking around and could pull you out of your sick bed? Boy, I sure wished that in December when I was so sick for so long. I know exactly how she felt because, well, my kids don't know it, but I spent all of Christmas Day in bed. And I did not get out of bed to cook any part of the Christmas meal because I gave up that foolishness, the foolish demands on myself, thinking that I had to do for them. They don't expect it. And Jesus and his disciples were not demanding that she serve them. They were expecting only that she do what she could do to care for them. And Jesus made sure she was able to do it. But that word serve, these are like layers of an onion. There's the surface meaning, and then you peel away, and there's another layer. That metaphor breaks down because every layer looks the same on an onion, and the next layer looks different when we peel away part of the story. The next layer is that the word serve that's used here, from which we get diakonia, which, you know, the word deacon comes from, and it means service. This word is the same word that Jesus used when he said what he had come to do, to serve. And so it has more than just a notion that this was a woman of great hospitality. This was a woman who was called to serve. Just like Jesus, just like each one of us. Diakonia is not restricted to people that are in full-time paid ministry. It's the personal mission of every one of us to serve the community. And the gifts that she was given, the gift of hospitality, she was a great cook. Okay, my imagination, but she was a great cook. Let's just take that on merit. The gifts that were given to her to care about people so deeply that she wanted to do it, not just had to do it. Those gifts are given to us to be used by the community, for the community. In a few weeks, I'm going to do a Lenten series on the greatest gift that Jesus gave us, the gift of the Holy Spirit with us. And how we use or don't use the gift of the Holy Spirit. But one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to give us gifts that are to be used for the upbuilding of the community. They're not just personal collector's items. They're to be used for the upbuilding, the caring, the encouragement of the community. And that's what she did. She got out of her bed and immediately began to serve. Immediately began to fulfill her calling from God. And so Jesus did two things, didn't he? If we peel away the layers. He not only pulled her up and healed her, but he commissioned her. He sent her forth to serve. And he does the same with each of us. So if you're praying for healing, if you're praying for Jesus to touch you and pull you out of your sick bed, you better be ready to be sent on a mission too. Because they're hand in hand. Jesus always gave additional instruction when he healed people. Sometimes it was mysterious instruction. In the book of Mark, at least the first half of the book, he not only heals people and casts out demons and does all that, but then he says, shh, don't tell anybody. My time hasn't come yet. And that happened in this passage too. Did you notice? When they brought the entire village to the door and every single person that needed healing, which should point out to us that God's powers aren't limited to a few. God can heal everybody. When they brought everybody to the door, and he cast out demons as well as healing people, and let's make sure we understand that God can still cast out demons and that they still exist. He said to the demons, he wouldn't engage them in conversation. He wanted them to stay silent. Some scholars say that he wanted them to stay silent because he just didn't want to spend time arguing with them. The best take I get from it, the scholars that I agree with are the ones that say he just didn't want it to be known yet that he wasn't the Messiah. And they take that from the passage where he says, shh, my time isn't yet. It will come, but my time isn't yet for this to be broadcast. Now, isn't it interesting that everybody in the village is already at the door and he's still saying, shh, don't tell. They all know. Who's there to tell? To not tell. They all know. But he's not bragging about what he's done. And perhaps he knows this needs to build momentum. In any case, she didn't get up and run through the village telling people what had happened. She got up, she cooked dinner, and she served it. And we are called to get up from wherever we are and to serve. And it's different for each one of us. That service is different for each one of us because each of us have different gifts. Nan, who is at home in bed, has the gift of cooking, doesn't she, Rick? And organizing meals and doing all of that. Not all of us do. Isn't that good? Lately, I've been cooking a lot, mostly for myself. When you cook, you have to do dishes. I'd forgotten that. Ralph, you've used your woodworking gifts in this church all over the place. You know how God has gifted you and what your talents are, and you say yes. Jackie, I'm looking at you. You were looking at your bulletin. I didn't want to say your name while you were looking down. That can be shocking. You use your sewing gifts. Janet uses her organizing gifts. I could go through the congregation and point out all the gifts that you use in service to God. But listen as I pray to see whether God is calling you to one more thing. Because here's what happens as we get older. We get tired. And we think God doesn't have any more use for us. And I got news for you. I don't care how old you are or how frail you are, God has a use for you. There is meaning and purpose in your life and in God's kingdom. And Jesus is still calling you and still using you, no matter what. But it may change. It may change a lot. Let's pray. Give us ears, Lord, that want to hear your call, even when we're tired. Give us ears, Lord, that can not only hear, but listen and comprehend. Give us hearts, Lord. Hearts to love your people and want to do what you call us to do. And give us hands that willingly serve you, even when they tremble. For we ask in the name of the one who sacrificed himself for us. On the night in which Jesus willingly chose to be a living sacrifice on our behalf, he met with the disciples in the upper room at the Passover meal. And at that meal, that wonderful ritual meal, he took bread and he gave thanks to God for the bread. And then he broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said to them, "This is my body broken for you. Take this and eat it in remembrance of me." And he took the last cup of the meal. And it had been a long and wonderful meal and awful meal. A meal in which they celebrated together, a meal in which he was betrayed, a meal in which he knew was his last one on earth. And even though he knew that, he gave thanks to God. Imagine giving thanks to God in the midst of suffering and pain and foreknowledge of torture to come. He gave thanks to God, and he blessed the cup. And then he said mysterious and new words. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many in my blood." A cup, a covenant of forgiveness for all who repent. Drink this in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Christ Jesus, we pour out ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice in union with Christ's sacrifice for us. God, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. By them, make us one with Christ, one with one another in service to all the world. Let us pray. By these gifts of bread and the cup, make us one body, unified in Jesus' name to serve the world. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The United Methodist Communion Table is open to all who wish to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because we want to make that available to all, we have a gluten-free alternative in the middle of each tray. Would Jim and Ricky come up, please? Jim. You're going to stand up here with me, and each of us will take. Christ broken for you, take and eat. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. Having eaten and drunk at God's own table, we become the body of Christ in the world to love and serve. To love and serve. All. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Grant you peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Lift up your eyes and see God's face and God's grace forever. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Amen.